Jesus is watching what you're putting in the offering plate. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes today to see the meaning, the purpose of the treasury of the house of God and thy precious name. Amen. Our text today comes from Mark, the 12th chapter, and I shall begin reading with verse 41. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and says unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, friends, notice it says, and Jesus set over against the treasury. The Jewish temple had a treasury. Every church has a treasury. In the Jewish temple, there were 13 trumpet-like offering receptacles in the women's court. And the women's court could hold up to 15,000 people. Now, this is where people would come to put their offerings. I want you to know that the treasury is God's will. The treasury is a good thing. The treasury supports the ministry. It spreads the gospel. It teaches discipleship. It is used to visit the sick, to heal the brokenhearted. Very few people ever ask about the treasury. Pastors will tell you that they hardly ever have a church member asking about the needs of the treasury. How is the treasury? Is there enough money in there to meet the needs? So it says, and Jesus set over against the treasury. Don't say Jesus is not interested in money, but just souls. Not so. Jesus knows about your soul, about what you cast into the treasury. Jesus frequently talked about money, and we preachers need to talk about money. Oh no, not all the time, and certainly not for self-gain, but for the sake of souls not falling in love with money. Yes, that's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he also said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. And the Apostle Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. So number one, in my little message today, there is a treasury in the church. Number two, Jesus presides over the treasury. And Jesus, it says, set over against the treasury, is our text. Jesus took time out of the Passion Week, and this occurred just a few days before his crucifixion. He took time out, my friend, to observe the treasury. As he took time out then to observe the treasury, so he will do so until the end of time. And when Jesus died and rose from the dead and sat down at the right hand of the Father, his interest in the treasury continued. It continues to this day. Jesus, it says, set over against the treasury. Jesus watched how much people put into the treasury, and he watched how they did it. So our text says, and Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Oh, my friend, Jesus is still watching you, how you put into the treasury and how much you put into the treasury. It does not escape his eyes. So when the offering is being taken in your church, it is being recorded in a book in heaven by some kind of angelic treasurer or secretary. Did you know that? I think you ought to know that. Oh, yes. You have a treasurer and perhaps an assistant treasurer in the church who count the money at the end of the service to keep record of it. But it's another bookkeeper in heaven who also keeps record of your giving in the treasury. So I'll take you to the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and there it says in verse 11, this is the Apostle John's epistles, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened." So I want you to notice here that there are two kinds of books in heaven. The one is the book of life, and the names of all those who follow Jesus will be found in that book of life. But also, it also says there are books in the plural. How many books? Well, there are as many books in heaven as there are people on the face of the earth. What a library that is. There's a book for everyone who ever lived on earth. So it says, "And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So there's the book of life, one book, and then there are books. One book for each person in the world, where everything that's been done or they did is recorded. And that includes your offering that you put into the offering plate, into the treasury. Again, we will be judged according to what is written in the books, in our book. If you have been partying, it will be in your book. If you have been watching useless or ungodly television programs, it will be in your book. If you've been faithful in prayer service, it will be in your book. If you have spent lots of time and money, or unnecessary time and money, traveling all over the world just for your pleasure, it'll be in your book. If you've been missing church and spending your days, your Sundays, on the lake fishing, it'll be in the book. I want you to know that this is not an empty book. This book of yours is not an incomplete book. It does not leave anything out. The only thing it leaves out is that what you have confessed and what you have repented of, that has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, but everything unrepented for or of is in this, in your book. So Jesus said over against the treasury and beheld how the people gave. So there's a treasury. That was number one. And Jesus watched what happened at the treasury. That was number two. Now then, number three, Jesus is the treasury. And when you give into the treasury, you give to Jesus. When you feed the poor, your poor brothers and sisters, or the strangers, or clothe a poor brother or sister, or visit them in prison or in the hospital, you do it to Jesus. Or when you give money, as I said, into the treasury, you give it to Jesus. So everything like that is recorded. Every hospital visit, every time you help someone, every time you visit a shut-in, it all is all recorded and will be reviewed on Judgment Day. Or whether you've been faithful, it will be there. Somebody will say, "Pastor Schultz, I don't like this kind of preaching." Well, you'd better like it, because it will help you on the Judgment Day to do what I'll suggest you do. So, number four, it says that men are to give in proportion to which God has blessed them. It says, "And Jesus beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that are rich, or were rich, cast in much. And there was a widow, she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing." Notice Jesus here says of the rich that they cast in much. That means much in terms of volume, much in terms of coins. The Greek word really here is polos. It means many coins. They didn't have paper money in those days. It was all coins. They put in many coins. That's much money from the earthly perspective. But then Jesus contrasts the giving of these rich people with the giving of the poor widow, who put in two mites, which makes a farthing. A mite was the smallest denomination of money in those days. It was like a penny today, the least in value. Now, in the Jewish canon, the Jewish law, no one was allowed to put any less than two pennies or a farthing into the offering plate. That was the minimum. It was not acceptable to go below that. So this poor woman had only two mites, two pennies left, and she either had to give them both or none at all. But that's all she had left of her substance, of her wealth. You know what she did? She decided that rather than not putting any money in and have cheese or her bread for supper or milk in the cupboard, she decided to go without cheese or to go without milk so that she could sacrifice and give unto the Lord. So this impressed, I say impressed, Jesus. This impressed Jesus so immensely that, yes, he called his disciples together for a little meeting to tell them what he thought about this. My friend, I ask you, is how you give and how much you give, is it impressing Jesus? So he had his disciples together. It says, he calleth unto him his disciples and says unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, I want you to get the immensity of this. He said that she has cast more in than all, it says all, that have cast into the treasury. So that means that her giving, in the eyes of Jesus, would count more on judgment day than the giving of all the wealthy people put together and everyone else that was giving at that time. So, my friend, from the eyes of Jesus, the greatest giver on that day was this poor widow who cast in two mites, because Jesus explains she gave out of her necessity, but all the rest gave out of their abundance. Oh, this stings wonderfully, doesn't it? Many people say, well, I don't have enough money to buy bread and gas and this and that, and you know, when I have enough, I'll give to the church. Listen, what we're getting from here, she gave out of her necessity, and Jesus was blessed, impressed marvelously. To use the exact words of our Lord, he says, for all they did cast in of their abundance. So, rich man, if you make $100,000 a year here in this area, and you give only 20,000 of that, 20%, you're not impressing the Lord Jesus, because you still have your comforts, you still have your country club and your backyard swimming pool and your dining at five-star restaurants. Oh, my friend, so you're giving out of your abundance, but this widow gave out of her necessities. Hers was a sacrifice. The rich people seldom let their giving be a sacrifice, but hers was a sacrifice of love. So she did without food that night, or without bread, or without milk, or without something, and went back to work the next day to see what she could do to make up. So now then, here's a word of caution. I want you to know that Jesus does not condemn wealth, nor does he ever put a blessing on poverty. What Jesus teaches here, my friend, is that there is a treasury, and it is his treasury, and what you need to put in should not just be given out of your abundance, but it should go beyond the giving out of your abundance. It should be a sacrifice of love unto the Lord that you will not be ashamed of on that great judgment day of our Lord. Friend, Paul says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Please tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. Goodbye now, until then.